Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and today we're breaking down all the prop bets and sweet, sweet action that you can get on the TaylorMade Skins game. And to do that, let me welcome in my partner in crime. It's Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
Oh, man, this is exciting. This is kind of like back to the old days. Just you and me cranking out a little preview, a little betting show. I miss these days. I love having everybody together, but this gives me a little hope. It feels like our schedule's getting back to normal. I'm really excited.
Yeah, we're just looking through the odds. We're going through it. Now, we missed you in the last episode, so I at least want to take your temperature here. How excited are you that there are going to be four PGA Tour golfers on a course on Sunday for our viewing pleasure?
I'm extremely excited. I will definitely be watching. The interesting thing is these kind of matches, this is a charity event. So there's a live element that hikes it up a little bit. There's also Seminole, which hikes it up for me.
Yeah.
You got Rory, you got big names in there. But at the same time, like during this time, I've enjoyed watching some old reruns of golf tournaments, watching an old version of the Masters. The PGA Championships they're playing, especially on CBS this week, to me are fantastic. Watching the 2018 PGA at Belrive again will be extremely exciting. So I think this is exciting. It's not quite what it'll be on June 11th when we have a real PGA Tour event, but this is, I would say it's very warm. I'm not necessarily over the moon about it though.
Yeah. June 11th will be, the Super Bowl, but this is a great little appetizer.
This is
now,
cool.
We're so excited about it at the First Cut. We're actually going to do a reaction pod after everything goes down on Sunday. So make sure to tune in to that. But for today, there's actually like the sports books are dying to get some bets out here, Greg. So I've got props that we'll go through and we'll discuss if there's a certain strategy, if you would like to place a wager on this driving relief skins game. But let's talk through the format a little bit first, Greg, because this is very important if you're going to make a wager, and it's the way that the value of each hole goes up throughout the length of the event.
Extremely important element to this. So again, as we discussed, we've known this for a while. It's going to be better ball of two skins, yep. Two on two, Rory and DJ versus Wolf and Fowler. That's nothing new. Right. Holes one through six will be worth $50,000. Skins, yep. Format, I don't know if I said that already. If I didn't, I apologize. Seven through 16 will be $100,000. 17 is 200,000 and 18 is 500,000. So there's a pretty significant increase when you go from basically 17 to 18. As you go through, these are significant increases, not just because the value changes. The difference between $100,000 and $200,000 may seem, it may be hard to really fathom what that difference is. But when you combine some of the possibilities, some of the ways that this kind of spikes and this can build in value, you're going to get some really valuable skins later on in the tournament.
You are. And you mentioned it's better ball, and we've been having the discussion around terminology. So just so we're all clear, everyone's going to play their own ball, and each team will take the lowest score out of the partnership to use as their team score. Additionally, because it is skins, they will carry over, Greg. So if the first four holes are all halved, the $200,000 worth of skins will carry over to hole five. Hole five will now be worth $250,000. So what we were talking about before we went live is it's kind of important when you win skins, like at what point, like you could win more skins, but not win more money.
Absolutely. And that's how it's decided. Whoever wins the most money at the end wins. And as you go through some of these prop bets here, whoever has more money at the end of the prop bet is the winner. So you kind of get into this scenario where, man, I mean, skins as a format in general is, I would say, the least predictive of your ability as there is. If you and I and Jacob all go play, I may have a significantly lower handicap than you. But in a skins format, it has a funny way of leveling the playing field because it's like a two tie all tie type format. So, mm-hmm. you know, DJ and Rory hit it to 8 feet on number one and they both miss, and Rory and Wolf spray it and end up, one of them makes a 30 footer for par and it's a tie and it's a carryover. And it can go like that for holes and holes and holes. And then all of a sudden, Matthew Wolf from the trees hits this miracle shot close. I could tell you a quick story, personal story, about a skins game I played in once. And I was playing very, very well. I was definitely winning at the point when we got to the eighth hole. I was playing at a course where 8 and 9 were par fives. I'm the longest player in the group, no doubt about it. I considered myself at the time the best player in the group, and I was playing the best in the group. Get to number 8. And I hit my ball just left of the green in 2, chip it up there close for a tap and birdie. And somebody else on the other team makes an eagle. So I lose a pretty big skin. And now at this point, we're about even in the money. You get to number 9, another par 5, and there's kind of a hill. So I get it over the hill. I'm going to be the only one who can go for it in 2. I'm licking my chops because this is a big one. And all of a sudden, I hit it again, just left of the green, all the green to work with. It's going to be an easy birdie. This guy that we nicknamed Get Up Larry, because he comes up short on every – Larry.
Oh, so every time he hits it, you yell, Get Up, Larry.
Get Up, Get Up. So we called him Get Up Larry. Okay. Well, Get Up Larry's in the right rough with a right pin, this crazy green. He has no shot. And all of a sudden, I see it's getting dark. I see this ball, a colored ball. He's playing some – crazy colored ball. It lands like right in the hill, peels over this corner, trickles onto the green, and goes in for eagle. And he wins skin, and they win all the money. And I lost about $190 in like such a low stakes kind of a skins game. And it was, I was like, this is not my style of game. Unless I'm playing with tour players, and I can be Get Up Larry.
Well, I think the moral of the story is exactly the way I think you should approach this betting card is I think you need to embrace the variance of golf. Some of these prop bets we're going to talk through are something like who's going to win the first hole. Let's jump into that one. Who's going to win the first? It says the first skin, so not technically the first hole. The first skin, Rory and DJ are small favorites, minus 130. Ricky and Wolf are plus 110. This is almost, let's be clear here. I don't know who's going to win the first skin. It could be anybody. Embracing the variance, which is kind of, you know, the Get Up Larry story is important here. So in something as seemingly random as this, obviously Rory and DJ are the better team. I'm going to lean towards the underdog and the plus money on a lot of these, Greg.
I think it's a very fair strategy. I almost wonder if throughout the entirety of all these prop bets, do you just bet the plus money? Do you bet the underdog and understand that you're going to take a couple of hits, but you're probably going to win a little more when you win? And if it plays out to be somewhat even, you're going to do okay. Whereas if you bet all the favorites, the same isn't necessarily going to be true. So I think that's an interesting strategy. But the first one especially is interesting, not just because it's a skins game, but because of the situation we're in. We haven't seen these guys. We could go through a whole stats breakdown on all four of these players, but it's useless at this point. It's almost like a fresh start after this long of a layoff. So who's going to come out in good form? Is somebody going to come out flat? Have they been practicing? I assume a little bit, but how serious are they? Are they taking it as far as preparation goes? Is it the same preparation it would be for a PGA Tour event? There's no way to know. So that makes it all the more confusing. I would think over a long period of time, you can lean towards the favorite in this one, but the closer you get to the start of this match, I think the more variance it is, and I'm with you. I like going with the underdogs early.
I think that, and it's interesting because the first skin might not be won until hole five. Like we don't know. The first five skins could be won all at the same time, which kind of leads us into our next one, which is the team to win holes one through six. Now, the more holes we get, the bigger favorites Rory and DJ become, exactly what you were alluding to, Greg, and the larger underdogs that Ricky and Wolf become. So when you look at teams to win holes versus holes one and six, Rory and DJ are minus 140. Ricky and Wolf are plus 120. So both odds going in opposite directions off of the first one. Now, here's what's interesting, Greg. The team that wins the first skin, are you just going to, whoever you choose it to be, whichever team you choose it to be, should you just also pick the same team to win holes one through six?
If you're gonna take a strategy of taking all of these prop bets, yes, I do think so. Again, as you mentioned, you don't know where this is gonna, well, you don't know where that first skin is gonna fall. So if the first skin falls in the first in the first two holes, well, then it's open. Then the first skin, if it's number one, it doesn't really matter so much. If the first skin is won on number five, now the winner of that first skin is also the winner of number six. And I feel like there's probably a greater likelihood that the first skin is also the winner of the first six. I'm definitely going that way. I think for that one, you go underdog early.
I think a lot of these bets correlate. We were kind of talking, I think, before we went hot that you'd have to create... Okay, so two parts to this. I think you need to create a script of what you think could happen, which is, hey, I'm going to embrace volatility and I'm going to be in on Ricky and Wolf. And if I believe that, and if I think they might win the first skin, I probably should also be interested in them winning one through six. And whoever wins one through six is probably going to be the money leader after nine. Now, of course, there are scenarios in which whoever wins holes one through six is not the money leader after nine holes, but I think it's a much smaller likelihood. So the way this would have to work is basically, you know, if you win the first hole and bank 50K and then you tie the next five, so now the team that won the first skin also won one through six, but now there's a five skin carryover that whoever wins the next hole is going to be the money leader after nine. You have to actually think hole by hole here and get your brain to wrap around this scenario, because there's, without every hole being won or lost, there's more outcomes.
Yeah. It's right? So funny. Yeah. Just because of what hole, like what hole is it? It doesn't matter if they're one up or it doesn't matter. It's just, when do you win? You know, like you said, you could lose the first couple of skins and still win the first six by just winning one hole. You lose the first two, you're down 100,000. Then the next two are tied, still down 100,000. Win the fifth, and all of a sudden, you're winning by 100,000. It can get a little crazy. But now here's the problem with the scenario that you just kind of painted. Like, do you stick with a linear strategy throughout the entire first nine? Well, the value change coming at number seven is quite interesting. All of a sudden, it's going to double up. So, and number nine's in the middle of that second price range. So you have a potential carryover. You have a potential switch. The earlier that first skin is won, if the first skin is won in the first hole, the strategy of taking the first hole winner with the six hole winner with the nine hole winner becomes much more at risk.
Yes.
Right. The later on that first skin is won, the better that strategy looks. It's just so hard to predict. So they really, I love the way they did this with the prop bets here, with 7 through 16 being a little longer than 1 through 6, a little bit more, a couple more holes in that gap. I think it's very interesting.
So to your point, if you're talking just on the first nine holes, holes 1 through 6 are worth the same amount as 7, 8, and 9. So have the number of holes, the same amount of money. So when we get to the next prop, Greg, that is the team to win holes 7 through 16. This doesn't make any sense to me, and let me explain why. This is not who is going to be up after 16. This is going to be team to win holes 7 through 16. Rory and DJ are now even longer odds, minus 170. Ricky and Wolf, even longer dogs, plus 150. Why would they, is it just because there's more holes that they would be,
yep.
It has to, right? It's not where it falls in the round, obviously. But these holes are all worth the same amount, $100,000, as the first six are. So I guess it must just be that this is nine holes versus six holes.
I think that's exactly right. So you're talking about nine holes versus six holes, I think, is the number one reason why the odds change so much. I also do think that the fact that it's a little later in the round also has an effect. I mean, think about all the times you've seen Tiger Woods get off to a start where he makes a double bogey on the first hole and goes on to play a great round. Things early, there's something about the first hole where kind of like anything can happen, especially the first hole after a really long layoff. The first event back, you're carrying your own bag, which is, you know, maybe a push cart. We don't know. There's a lot of unknown here.
If one of these guys has a push cart, they should lose the $500,000 that they start with. You could not have a push cart out there.
If you have a,
unless it's like one of those robots that follows behind you, that's acceptable.
I think if somebody has a it's gotta be all or none. If they all have push carts, it's kind of like college golf. Sometimes you'll see college golfers with push carts because it's better for your back. It's all this new physical studies. I wouldn't be surprised if you see push carts, but I think it has to be all or none.
I will provide Twitter ridicule to whichever guy has a push cart. So I hope none of them do, because I'd hate to say something bad about Rory, but I hope he's carried his own bag.
So, I'll hammer this point home. Those first six holes to me are the most unpredictable. But what's fascinating is that 7-16 is just 7-16.
Yeah.
That's very interesting, because what happens if it's a carryover? You just get the credit for the skin that you won minus the value that it picked up. I guess that's where I get a little confused. If the first six,
crap. Okay. Yeah. So you're saying if the first, if the first skin is one on eight, does that count towards first six and 7-16, or just first six?
Right. Does the value of the skin that's won in 7-16 increase, or is it just a $200,000 skin starting at number seven?
I think it has to count. I think because it is a carryover, if you get to hole number eight, that hole's worth the whole amount. So it would fall in 7-16. It would have to count, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it should. So it does have a little bit of, I don't know, maybe it's just how who has more holes. Maybe it's not money.
You know what's going to be great is by the time we get to 7-16, and especially in the later part of that, guys, they're going to know if they're winning or losing, and you might see the team that's trailing really kind of go on the aggressive, try to carry things in too, take on much more aggressive lines, keep the foot on the pedal, and that might swing a lot of this stuff on the back. Like, I think you're going to see a lot of pressing, which is going to be awesome.
Are you looking in at this saying, I think maybe I go with my first skin, first six early, and then kind of wait and see and bet a little bit live as it goes along? Or do you think the odds might fluctuate too much?
Good question. I love a good live bet. Don't get me wrong. I think that whatever I'm betting before it'll just so strongly correlate. It'll just be, if you win holes 1-6, I have you as the nine hole leader. The 7-16 is a little bit different, but like, I'm probably not going to say you win 7-16, but you lose the match. I'm not sure, although 18 is pretty valuable, but you know what I mean? Like,
it's like,
write a script like that.
It is. I understand what you're saying, but there's very real possibilities. Let's say you win number seven and somebody had won number six. That's $200,000 win. But now you have, you know, eight holes of $200,000 carryovers. You win 7-16. All of a sudden, you get to 17 and everything is on the line. That scenario exists.
So this has been designed to make the final holes matter, which is going to be great.
Yes.
And it is going to matter. But the more I think about this, and I actually am almost flipping what we were talking about before, these guys also start with 500,000. So keep that in mind. So it's not like you're going from a zero start at 18 being worth 500,000, but you're starting at 500,000. And if you win four holes from 7 to 16 for 400,000, and now you're at 900,000, and then you won two holes between 1 and 6, and now you're at 1 million, you know, like it's the 500,000 for 18 is not worth as much because they're starting at 500,000. It's still worth a ton. It's just a little bit different.
Aren't they just starting at, I mean, sure, they have 500,000, so it'll be 550 to 500,000, but isn't that the same thing as zero?
It's not the same as zero, but it's even. So,
how does that affect the value of 18? Because to me, it's not like you're losing money.
I'll tell you how. If I had $1 and I gave you 500, if you had $1 and I gave you 500,000, I have just increased your value 500,000 times, right?
Yep.
If you have 500,000 and I give you 500,000, you have only doubled in value.
Yeah.
So it is even that they're both starting with 500,000, but it makes 18 worth less, still worth a ton, but worth less because they're not starting at zero.
Yeah, I see what you're saying a little bit. I understand the value thing, but again, it's just that you have to have more money than the next team.
Sure.
Now it has an effect on charities. And when I looked at that, I said, well, why would they, that doesn't make much sense unless you can lose money. Well, it's for charity. They want to make sure that both teams can have a little bit to donate, right?
Yeah.
But if you are, I don't know. I still think you're trying to, on 18's worth 500,000. You can either make up that difference or that difference can, you know, somebody can catch you with that difference.
Realistically, what probably happens is they have 17 and 18 is worth 700,000, and whoever wins 18 wins this thing. That's like the most realistic outcome of this.
So after it's interesting you say that. If somebody wins 16, 17 and 18 together, if somebody wins 16, there's a halve on 17, 17 and 18 together are $700,000.
Yeah.
It's more than a quarter. I mean, you're getting pretty close. If there's a halve on 16, you're at $900,000. You're basically half the pot in the last hole, right? Because there's 2 million in the pot after the 500,000 that they start with.
Right.
Right. It's the remaining 200, the remaining 2 million. So it's a significant portion in the end, especially depending on what happens leading up. I mean, you could get a scenario where a $500,000 18th hole isn't enough to close the gap. If you went 7 through 16, it's going to be really important to me in the total outcome of the match. If somebody can win, you know, 14, 15, 16, those three holes are critical to me.
Here's one I like. Will any player hole out from off the green? This is a pretty loaded question. Yes, there will be a hole out from off the green is a tiny dog plus 110. And no one will hole out is minus 150. Now, this is weird. Okay. So like when we talk about strokes gained approach and strokes gained around the green, there are some weeks, Greg, where we're like, if you're using your strokes gained around the green, like it's over, like you're cooked. Like if you guys who are firing darts to 10 feet don't have to use their around the green game. So if these guys are on fire and they're just hitting greens, the hole out would have to be like a wedge from the middle of the fairway. They're missing greens, little chippies, right? Little chips around the green. That's a different story.
I do believe there are going to be some holes where, again, you don't know what the wind's going to do. So the wind direction will be critical in this. Now, these guys are, we have some pretty long hitters in this group. I mean, Matthew Wolf's 21st in driving distance, DJ 28th, Rory is second. These guys are long hitters. And what that means is on some of these par fours, and the par five, they're going to be able to get it around the green with eagle opportunities. So I agree with you. I don't think you're going to see a lot of chipping opportunities for birdie, although you'll see some because the greens are crazy here. They are very sloped and the ball can get off the green with some pretty good shots. I've never played it, but that's my understanding. Especially when it gets windy, you get on the wrong side of some of these slopes and it can take it all the way off the green. So there's a possibility of it, even with wedges. But I think where you're really going to see the opportunities for this are on par fours, where players are hitting drivers up by the green and they're inside of, say, 20 or 30 yards, and par fives where a second shot misses the green. They get a little aggressive and they have a short chip. The hard thing about this is you get that you get a 15-foot putt from the fringe. Does that count as a hole out? I assume it does.
Yeah, it's on the fringe. Why, I guess it is.
That's why the odds are so close. So, but to me, I think you say no on this one. I lean towards no because the odds are so close, and it seems like it's not going to happen.
I'm going to go with yes, Greg.
You are.
So here's my thought. Here's my thought. I don't know what the odds are of one out of four guys holing out or chipping in a normal situation. But this is match play. So they are not just trying to cozy it up there within the circle of trust. There are going to be situations where these guys are going to just try to hole it. And if you run it by in match play, it doesn't matter. So I don't know if these odds are good or bad, but I will say I match play, it is much more likely that someone holes out than in stroke play.
I would agree to an extent. Here's the challenge from a technical perspective. Now I'll put my coach hat on here. When you try to, this happens all the time. You'll hear it on a telecast. He can hit this a little firmer and take the breakout. When you start to try to hole things and you're in that situation where the next one's good.
Yeah.
Your perception, your ability to read greens tends to change. You see break at a certain speed, and speed and pace affect break dramatically. So you see, everyone will see breaks at a speed that they typically putt at. Some, for some players like a Phil Mickelson, that's going to be a little bit farther past the hole if it misses. Maybe you're in the 18-inch kind of range. Other players like a Ben Crenshaw likes to dive the ball into the hole. He may read it like 4 to 6 inch putt, 4 to 6 inches past the hole if it misses. When you start to change that and try to hit it faster or slower, sometimes your perception can you get more misreads because you're not used to that same perception. So I say yes and no on that. I think sometimes when guys really get aggressive and they don't care about the next one, they tend to miss more often than not.
I could believe that. I have no argument against that. How about these? Two longest drives, holes 2 and 14. Longest drive does not have to be in the fairway, noted. Rory and DJ are I don't understand this one either. Minus 250 on hole number 2, but minus 275 on hole number 14. Like, are they getting stronger as the round goes on? That doesn't make any sense. Wolfie and Ricky are plus 210 on hole number 2 and plus 235 on hole number 14. I think it's Wolf versus the other two, Greg.
I agree. And I'm taking the 2-on-1. In both of them. I don't care about the odds. You got it. I mean, look, Ricky Fowler, his average driving distance is 293 yards. He's 150th in driving distance. Now, he's no short hitter. I've seen him in person. He can gear up and pump one out there. But I think Rory has a different gear, and DJ, I think, has a different gear. And I think both of those guys, and Matthew Wolf's right there with him. He's averaging 310. He's only 2 yards longer than DJ, but I mean, Rory's 10 yards longer than Matthew Wolf in his average driving distance. That's a really big advantage. And Rory's a guy who just has that gear and he can launch. I mean, look, they're all long, but I think you got to take the 2-on-1 fast break here.
Oh man. I really want Wolf to just uncoil and bomb one, but
he's 21 years old. That's what makes this a little bit challenging.
I tend to agree with you that 10 yards is a big difference in average drives. Like, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
And if they all catch it clean, Rory's just bombed it past all of them.
Right. Rory's best is longer than all of them. There's no doubt about it.
Now, all right. You got me on that one. I'll take the favorites on that one.
Do you think you see anybody their strategy get affected on a long drive hole? Especially, I ask because Matthew Wolf is so young. Is he going to get a little more hyped up, maybe not make his best swing in that scenario? I don't know. I think the variance besides just the 2-on-1, also experience. I'm leaning all sides on this. This is probably the clearest bet to me, is leaning towards DJ.
I do think there's a situation, and this is, I'm writing the script now, where, you know, Wolf has, for the last couple weeks we've talked about this, I feel like has been disrespected, right? He's kind of been like the fourth man in. It's Rory, it's DJ, it's Ricky, and it's Matthew Wolf. You may not have heard of him. He's this kid from Oklahoma State, blah, 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 blah. And the one thing that he's got, the one weapon that he can compete with a lot of these guys, is the driver, and he knows it. And I feel like when he gets to these holes and says, okay, it's my time to unleash the weapon, I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, he might cut it loose and it might be really ugly, or he might just bomb one like 9,000 yards. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I see a scenario where he gets to these holes and he's like, all right, here it is. This is why I'm here.
I got one other point on this.
All right.
I don't know if you follow, you likely don't, but if you're in the instruction space, his coach, George Gankus, is a rather popular coach.
I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, there you go. So this is where you'll see his players practice going full speed. Like, they work on speed. So maybe that youth statement I just made is a little bit off. Maybe Matthew Wolf is just as geared up to really step on one. Doesn't quite change my opinion, but you're right with his talent with the driver. It is a little bit scary, but I'm still taking the 2-on-1 fast break.
I think I'm with you on that. I get two cracks at it versus one. All right, yeah. Greg, we've got to get on the record. We got to make picks for this, and we're going to do it on the other side. So we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order, plus free shipping.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features, like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
All right, we're back. Greg, we've gone through each and every wacky prop available for the driving relief for this match on Sunday, and now we've got to tell who's going to win it. Well, I'll tell you that story. I've made two bets by accident, but I have investment in this. I'll reveal that. Where are you going, Greg? Rory and DJ -220 to win it. Ricky and Wolf +190.
It's complicated. Here's why. Typically, we talked about this all the time when it came to fantasy, when it came to betting on regular PGA Tour tournaments. Really betting to win more so than fantasy golf. But my philosophy is, you don't bet for odds, right? You bet for who you think is really going to win. You try to reason your way through who's going to win. You bet on them, whether they're 6-1 or 18-1 or 25-1. This scenario, because it's so unknown, in my opinion, it's so unknown, is a little bit more open. And now the odds in my mind kind of come into play. And now I'm thinking about the odds. So my instinct is to take Ricky and Wolf. I think Wolf's probably underrated talent, and in a single round, I think he can compete with these players, maybe not over 72 holes. But for 18 holes, I think he can. I think Ricky, I know the one scorecard I've seen from Ricky during the layoff, who is a 61 playing with Justin Thomas. So he can go low, and he's played Seminole a bunch. I know Rory has too, and they all have, really, with the exception of Wolf. So I lean towards the underdog here. But you're talking about betting against Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
And you know, the end of this round is going to be so important. Cream tends to rise to the top. The longer the event goes on, I think the more talented players will show up and start winning some of these holes.
Did you just talk yourself out of this?
Yeah. Well, I had this planned out beforehand. I kind of said it backwards in my delivery here, but I think that Rory and DJ are a smart bet overall, because I think 16, 17, 18 are going to be really important. So I think I would bet Rory and DJ, unless you're going to take my philosophy where you bet across the board, everything underdog, and just try to kind of chip away at it and win a couple of with some better odds.
All right. I don't mind that. And I do think whatever bet you make here determines what bets you're going to make in other places. About 5 days ago, I convinced myself that in a situation where we have no idea where their games are at, and the only thing we've kind of seen from Ricky is he's been playing really, really well, that I was going to bet the underdog. So I like that Ricky can get hot with a putter. That's dangerous in match play. I embraced the volatility of golf and said, this is a skins game over 18 holes. Anything can, you could conceivably win like four holes and win the whole thing. Anything can happen here. So I'm going to take the value and take Ricky and Wolf. I've already bet it. Then I forgot I bet it, Greg, because I bet it like while we were on a show and I forgot I did it. And I came back and bet it again. So I'm in twice on Ricky and Wolfie.
I'll give you a lot of credit, Rick. You have been on ever since this news broke. You've been underdog. You take the underdog. So I give you a lot of credit for that. And I think there's a strategy where that fits. So I can accept it. I think if you're going to bet just the winner, I think you take Rory and DJ.
All right. Well, Sunday night, we will find out and we will talk through it. Join us Sunday evening. Also, don't forget to ask your smart speaker to play the First Cut Golf podcast. I did that the other day. It was creepy and awesome. I'd like to thank Greg Ducharme at The Real GFD. I'm Rick Gaiman at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.